as is the custom here, we're going to stand, we'll read this text, and then we'll pray, because I don't want to break from tradition. Wouldn't feel like Sunday night. And you have notes in front of you. That's pastor's requirement as well. So Joshua chapter 4, we're going to read, I think, a total of four verses or so. But let's go ahead and stand up. Joshua 4, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7, then jump down to verses 21 through 24. So I guess a total of six verses. Joshua 4, 6 says this, "That this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Look down at verse 21, please. Verse 21, "Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Tonight we're going to do something that maybe is a little different, where I'm going to talk about what's in a name. We're going to look at an introduction to Baptist distinctives. This is actually something that I taught on in my church months ago, and I thought it might be helpful for you folks tonight too. So let's pray, please. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be down here, Lord, gathered with the local church in this place. And Father, we just pray that you will open our eyes tonight to the message that we have before us, to the passages of Scripture that we look into, to the concepts, the biblical principles, the truths that we interact with. Lord, may we be open to the truth as it's presented. Father, may we be willing to change where your Spirit reveals that we need to change, so that we may be instruments for greater glory. Lord, so that we may be even more closer to the image of your Son. Father, I just pray that your Spirit will have free reign to work in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, that your grace will empower us to change as we need to. Father, we thank you, we love you, and praise you now. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. It's the one on the right? This isn't from this morning? Okay. Well, it still has ice in it. I should know better, I guess. I just want to check. Well, across the country over the last 50 years, there have been numerous changes that churches have gone through. And we're not here to talk about all of them tonight. We don't have time for that. But one of the changes that churches have gone through is a name change. Okay, and maybe this is the root of the other changes or just connected to the other changes. I'm not going to talk about that or answer that tonight. I'm just making the observation that things have changed. Maybe you've noticed, maybe not. There have been some Baptist churches who have dropped the name Baptist from their name or from their sign, and they simply have become Calvary Church or Faith Church. Some churches have felt the need to add the name Community to their name, as in Harvest Community Church. And I'm just using those as examples, by the way. I'm not picking on any one specific congregation. I know of a former Baptist church that's not too far from here, that they dropped the name Baptist and they simply became The Journey, whatever that means. My intention tonight is not to pick on any one church. The names I used above, Calvary or Faith or Harvest, have become common. Stories like that have popped up across America. The question that I want to answer tonight is this, and it has to do with this local Baptist church. Just like it has to do with my Baptist church up in Wisconsin, or the church that I pastor. Why is this church named Lake County Baptist Church and not just Lake County Community Church? or Lake County Church, or Lake County Family Worship Center. The questions we're going to ask tonight are several in nature. First of all, what's a Baptist? What's in a name? Why is this church Lake County Baptist Church? Is it merely we're holding on to tradition for tradition's sake, or we don't like to change? I think there's more than that. I think Pastor would agree there's more to that. There's three reasons I'm presenting tonight, and we're talking about this concept of the name Baptist. Point number one in your notes. Why Baptist? Number one, Baptist because of a connection to a legacy. Connection to a legacy, or if you like the idea of a heritage, or if you like the idea of history, whatever, it's all the same idea. Okay, Baptist because of a connection to a legacy. Okay, I've stated that there's a connection to a legacy as Baptist. The next question is, well, what legacy are we talking about? Okay, what legacy? Well, broadly speaking, is where we're going to talk first. We, as Baptists, have a legacy, broadly speaking, when we consider the roots of the Baptist denomination. You say, where does this begin? Well, it begins in England in the 17th century, okay, or what we think of as the 1600s. And by the way, anything that I get wrong tonight concerning history, Miss Debelak, she can correct next week. Okay, Miss Debelak? I saw you slip in. Well, I saw you here. I don't know when you came in, but good to see you tonight, sister. In England in the 17th century, in the 1600s, we have for the first time ever people calling themselves Baptist, or we have what we would recognize as the Baptist denomination. Okay? So that's where it begins. Now, we pick up with the 1600s, but we've got to step back from that because it's important for us, if we're honest with history, that we realize there were many influences along the way that gave way to the Baptist denomination. Okay, so we can't really attribute it to one person at one place or just one small group in England. There were other forces and factors that work here long before that. You say, what are some of these things? Well, first and foremost, one of the first influences was this thing called the Reformation, which began in the 1500s. Okay, from the 1500s on for about 150 years, okay, the official end of the Reformation is in 1648 with the Peace of Westphalia. But for about 1,500 years, we see a return to some things. Okay, maybe you've heard of these things before. Okay, there's this idea of rebirth or renewal of specific Bible doctrines. You say, what are they? Well, they're what we call the five solas. Okay, they're in your notes. There's sola scriptura. That's the idea of it's by Scripture alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Solus Christus, by Christ alone. And soli Deo gloria, for God's glory alone. Through Martin Luther's influence, through John Calvin's influence, and through others, we have this focus of a return to biblical doctrines or Bible doctrines, what we would call, and rightfully so, fundamentals of the faith. Another influence for the Baptist denomination of the 1600s was the translation of the Bible into English. And for sake of time, we don't have time to go in and talk about that process, but I know that through Dr. Saxon being here, you guys have talked about Wycliffe and some of the others. So if you're not familiar with those, get online and you can pull those things up and you can learn more about the English Bible, okay, the Bible coming to the English people. But certainly the Bible coming to the English people prior to the Reformation and then during that Reformation time was a factor or an influence that led to the Baptist denomination. A third influence was the emphasis on true baptism by immersion of believers only, brought about by different groups of people that are commonly called Anabaptist. Okay, Anabaptist. This group of people, or groups of people rather, there wasn't one group of Anabaptists. There were groups of them. But they were rightfully called Anabaptist because they were, well, I should say not rightfully, they were nicknamed Anabaptist because they were people that were said to re-baptize. when in fact they were only baptizing, as we understand it, believers by immersion. But certainly that was an influence. A final influence comes from the religious persecution of the 16th and 17th centuries by the English monarchy. Okay, you have periods of time where it's illegal to pastor, it's illegal to pray a prayer in a group of people unless that prayer comes from the Book of Common Prayer, something approved by the Anglican Church. And you've got severe persecution for anyone that wants to deviate from the established religion of England. And because of that, you had people that left England and came over to the mainland in Europe and began to organize themselves. And those individuals, when they came back to England, started the first, what we know of as Baptist churches. So those are four influences. Okay, I want to talk briefly about some of the theories, okay, as to where Baptists came from. Brian, have you had Baptist history with Dr. Straub yet? Okay, you're going to recognize some of these ideas when you get to those. Okay, we have these influences that take place that I presented to you. Okay, but there are four theories out there as to where the actual denomination came from or what actually produced the denomination. The first theory is the outgrowth of English separatism. Okay, remember we talked about persecution that came. Okay, well, because of that, you had something called English separatism. Christians with a desire to move away from some or most elements of the Anglican religion were persecuted. They were often imprisoned, sometimes martyred. We had early Baptist leaders, guys like John Bunyan, that ended up in prison for many, many, many years because of his lack of willingness to use the Anglican methods of religion. But you have individuals like Bunyan, like others, that flee, that go to places like Amsterdam, places eventually America, because they want to seek religious freedom. Okay, that's theory number one, that the Baptist denomination comes because of English separatism. Theory number two, the influence of biblical Anabaptists. We mentioned them before. These are groups of dissenters, as they were called, coming out of the Reformation, who wanted to break from the traditional Christianity of England in search of something closer to the Bible. The third theory says that the Baptist denomination is merely, or is a continuation of biblical teachings through the ages. Okay, that there have always been a faithful remnant, sometimes large, oftentimes small, possibly underground, of Christians who maintained biblical teachings that we would recognize as Baptist doctrines. So there's a continuation of biblical teachings throughout the ages. We can't nail them down based on writings. We can't find records necessarily of every church from the apostles on, but we simply know that there have always been pockets of believers throughout what we would think of as the West, okay, throughout Europe, that maintained a distinctiveness based upon biblical teachings. That's the third theory. And that somehow then the Baptist denomination that we know of, identifying themselves through writings as Baptists, the Baptist denomination is merely in print this church that has always existed. That's the third theory. I hope that's not too confusing. The fourth theory as to the origins of Baptist is that the Baptist of the English church, okay, the English Baptist of the 17th century, is a succession of organized Baptist churches that can be traced from John the Baptist forward. Okay? That's not the same thing as theory number three. Okay? Theory four is saying that the church in England, the Baptist denomination of the 17th century, you could trace that church backwards. Okay? People that were saved and baptized in that church or those churches are connected to people, you know, 100 years before who are connected, and they can prove it, connected to people a generation before, a generation before, a generation before, going back to the first Baptist church started by John the Baptist. Okay? I won't go into all of that. You can look up and do some research on this concept of what they call the trail of blood. Okay, but that's the fourth theory. Now, you say, you've talked about influences. You've talked about theories. What's right? Where did they come from? Which theory is best? Well, I put in your notes, all three. One, two, and three, that is. Okay, because the fourth theory is really, I guess technically it's a theory that's out there, but it's not substantial. Okay, it's not provable. Okay, it's not likely, and nobody really takes it seriously. Okay, that would tend to be more on the redneck side of things, that people would even espouse such a thing. The Baptist denomination came from the influences that we talked about. Reformation, Bible transformation, influence of Anabaptists, religious persecution that caused people to leave and then come back or to go to America. So theories 1, 2, and 3, okay, are all true to some extent. It was a combination of influences and factors converging by God's grace upon the English and later American peoples to organize the Baptist denomination. Even if some of the factors are unclear, by the way, it's still a great history. It's a rich heritage. When you think about these things, okay, when you think about Lake County Baptist Church, and I'll mention some of this local history in just a minute, but when you think about this church being connected to something that's been around for a long time, something that's got roots, something that people have lived and spent their lives for, sometimes people have died for, that should give us a sense of pride. Not the bad kind of pride, not arrogance, but a connectiveness to something, to people that have gone before. That makes me feel good. I don't know about you. It was a combination of those things and God's grace that allowed the Baptist denomination to be born. We have a legacy with the Baptist name, remember, in general. But I want to talk for a minute about specifically here in this place as you think about the roots of this Baptist church. Lake County Baptist Church, I think this is on the website. Actually, I know it is because I cut and pasted from the website. I don't know if that's a violation of copyright, but I confess to it. Lake County Baptist Church began as a Bible study in the summer of 1974. The three founding families, is anybody still alive from that group? They're all gone now, all with the Lord. The three founding families wished to begin a solid, biblically based, and separated fundamental work here in Waukegan. Okay, this is my words now. They settled on the name Lake County Baptist Temple. Later, we call it church, to represent them. You say, why? Because it provided a connection to something they needed in their day, which was an identification with a solid, biblically based, and separated fundamental work. But it also, I believe, gave them a connection to something much bigger than just those three families. The church that I pastor in Wisconsin has a similar story. In the late 80s, there was a Christian school teacher here at this place, him and his wife, that were contacted by a pastor just across the border in Wisconsin. And they were praying about a solid, biblically based, and separated fundamental work to be in the southeastern Wisconsin area. And that pastor, Paul Rudy, and his wife, Elaine, answered the call to go up. And as they started a Bible study, just like this church began, and had people from the community coming into their home and later renting a space and later establishing themselves in a church building. Okay, they wanted to connect to something. They wanted to show commitment to something. You say, what? The Baptist name. They became a Baptist church in the state of Wisconsin. And we just celebrated 25 years this year of the founding of our church up there. You say, why the name Baptist? Because Lake County Temple, Lake County Bible. Why the name Baptist? Well, I think it's because of a connection to history and a connection to the scriptures. You say, Pastor, you took a long time to tell us all of that. Why? Because these things are important. It's important to remember where you've come from or from where you have come. to be Englishly properly speaking, of course. It's important to remember where you've come from, as we would say in the vernacular. In July, my family and I, we made a short trip back to the great state of Ohio to visit family. During that trip, we stayed with one set of grandparents, and then we visited my other grandma, and I'm thankful that I still have, you know, three grandparents alive. I always make a point when I go and spend time with grandparents to ask questions about my family in the past, because I want to hear stories. I'll confess to you some of the stories I hear every time I go back, because I ask to hear them, because I want to remember. I want those stories passed on to my kids. You say, why? Because I have famous, you know, family? No. Some of the stories, I wouldn't share them with you because they wouldn't mean anything to you. But as I sit and listen to the story, you say, why do you ask those questions? Because I want to hear living history. Stories that I know will die with my grandparents. I enjoy listening to events from their past. I enjoy them telling me stories, and you know what? They enjoy telling me the stories. It helps me. It helps me to remember that, by the way, I don't just exist here on my own. I wasn't raised in a vacuum, for good, for better, or for worse. I'm from somewhere, and I'm connected to something bigger than just me. The same is true of us here in this place as part of Lake County Baptist Church. This church did not just start yesterday. And it's too easy in our society of here today, you know, better tomorrow, you know, always trying to upgrade, always trying to update. It's very easy for us just to start to think that, oh, this is ours and we have no connection to anything and it's just here today and we can change and move on or move up without any regard for what's taken place in the past. Over 40 years ago, this church wasn't just the startup of one or two people, but it was still connected to something. There was a legacy. You say, what can we do in response to this great truth? Number one, it's important for us to learn about the history. As we talk about Baptist connections, the stuff that I shared earlier, maybe it sparks some interest in you to go read some of this English history. Okay, read about some of the Baptist forefathers. It's important to learn about the history. We read a passage from Joshua chapter 4. And Joshua chapter 4 is all about learning. Well, it's about leaving a legacy and learning that legacy to the next generation. Okay? It's about making sure that people remember what has gone before. Specifically, the work of God before. And I think it's appropriate for us to take time to learn, to teach about things as important as our legacy, our history, from where have we come. By the way, the whole little bit about 1974, a church starting, and then those families being burdened to start a Christian school. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from Pastor Kowak or Pastor Warren during teacher in-service. Why did they take the time to tell teachers that? Did you guys say it this year? I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you remember? Lake County Baptist School exists as a ministry of Lake County Baptist Church. You know, you've got that spiel you go through. Why? Because you want teachers to know they're connected to something that didn't just start up yesterday. There's a legacy. There's a history. There's a heritage. It's important for us to learn that, to pass that on. Number two, it's important for us to honor the memory. Honor the memory. We don't worship saints of the past, but certainly we can honor people's contributions. And it's important for us to do that. Number three, moving on, we should be thankful for the work of God through His people in times past. Okay, be thankful is number three at the bottom of your page one. Be thankful for what God has done. Take time to say thank you, God, the people who probably had a little more intestinal fortitude than I do, and probably you too, that people stood up for right when they were in the face of real persecution, not just people not liking our status on Facebook, people that were really persecuted. Thank God that they stood up and said, the Scriptures matter, and we're going to teach the Scriptures. We're going to stand by the Scriptures. Thank God for them. Thank God for families that were involved in this community to start this church those years ago. Be thankful for that. And by the way, be thankful for the people that stand up to make sure this work continues today. Be thankful for and pray for them. Pray for the spiritual leaders of this church. Number four, be committed to passing on the faith of those who have gone before. Be committed to passing on the faith of those who have gone before. We'll say more about that later. So what's in a name? Why Baptist? Number one, Baptist because of a connection or a legacy to remember. We're connected to something in the past. Number two, Baptist because of a collection of biblical distinctives. Okay, Baptist because of a collection of biblical distinctives. Now, I've got to state this on the outset. Okay, as we talk about these Baptist distinctives or biblical distinctives of Baptists, please hear me. And I made this statement almost on a weekly basis when I was teaching this at my church. Baptist, here's the statement. Baptists are not the only Christians to hold to the following teachings or biblical principles. Okay? Baptists are not the only Christians to hold to the following teachings or biblical principles. Secondly, Baptists are the only denomination to hold to all of them as a collection. And I hope you see the distinction. So when we mention in a minute that the Bible is important, okay, we're not the only people that think the Bible is important, okay? There are lots of godly individuals as part of, Bible churches throughout the country that would stand for the inerrancy, the infallibility, the inspiration of the Word of God as strongly as we would at this Baptist church, okay? There are people outside of Baptists that hold to some of these individual distinctives. But what makes us unique? It's the collection, holding to all of them, okay, historically, that defines us as Baptist. Okay, the next statement that's very important that I made very clear, I hope so at least. These are not doctrines that one must believe to be saved. Okay? You do not have to hold to all of these to be a Christian or to be saved. Okay? What do you need to be saved? Well, it's called the gospel. Okay? And the gospel doesn't talk much about church ordinances. Okay? But Baptist distinctives do. If you want to be a saved Baptist, you will hold to two church ordinances and two church offices. But you don't have to believe in those to be saved. You could have those. You could have matters of polity completely wrong and still go to heaven. Now, you'll get right when you go to heaven. You'll understand what was true and what you messed up. But you don't have to believe these things in order to be saved. So those are the caveats that I must begin with. Okay, what I'm going to present here is the biblical distinctives of Baptist or Baptist distinctives is an attempt by Christians to present a pure church. You say, if it's not important for salvation, then why even bother? Why list these things out? Why have these as part of a doctrinal statement or church constitution? It's because what we do recognize is this. You don't need these to be saved. But if you believe the scriptures, a reading of the scriptures, if you believe the New Testament is sufficient for establishing the order of church and how we do things today, what we call the regulative principle. If you believe that to be true, then what your church will look like is a Baptist church. Historically. Okay? That has historically held to these distinctives. So we're Baptist because of a collection of biblical distinctives. To call these Christian teachings Baptist distinctives does not mean that Baptists invented them. I firmly believe that these are the principles that guided the early New Testament churches. We just don't see them as a collection of writings outside of the New Testament. We don't see these collected and stamped as Baptist until the 1600s. Okay, so that's why we call these the Baptist distinctives as opposed to the Ephesian distinctives or the Galatian distinctives, although I believe those churches probably ordered themselves much like this because these things come from Scripture. And that's what the apostles taught. So you say, what are the Baptist distinctives? Well, I put them in your notes for you there. And it's nice, you can break this down with the acrostic or acronym. John, is it? Which is it? I never learned after all those months. John says it's an acrostic. When you take the letters Baptist and you work down the line, okay, you've got an acrostic that you can use to remember these teachings. Okay, and that's the only way, I don't want to say it's the only way I remember them, that's not true. But it's helpful to remember them. Okay, this is the way I kind of learned them. Here's what you have, Baptist. And I'm not teaching on these, but they're there in your notes, so I'll read them for you. But it's simply B, the Bible is the only rule for faith and practice. Okay, that the Bible establishes what we do, what we believe, and how we order things, first and foremost. This is connected to Reformation teaching, okay? But for the first times, by the way, in documents in the 1644 and then later 1689 Confessions of Faith, we see the Baptist organizing these ideas in documents that still survive till today. B, Bible. A, autonomy of the local church. Autonomy means self-governing. Okay, that we as Baptist churches do not need organizations or individuals outside of our church telling us what to do, telling us who's the pastor, establishing for us where we give for missions and such. Okay, Baptist churches are autonomous. It doesn't mean we have the right to do whatever we want, because remember, B, the Bible is the rule for faith and practice. Letter P is the priesthood of all believers, that all believers have access to God through the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And all believers are to participate in worship. Worship isn't done for us or to us, but we have an obligation to participate. Letter T, the first two church ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I, individual soul liberty, has the idea of a freedom of conscience, that we understand that people have the right, okay, to choose who they will worship and how they will worship. Doesn't mean they have the right to be right. Everybody's not right. Okay, but individuals have the right to choose. Okay? Yes, we have other things, church discipline and things of that nature to govern some of those freedoms within the church. But we do believe in individual soul liberty. The first S there is a saved and regenerate and immersed church membership. Okay, that means individuals who are saved, they have a profession of faith, a testimony that's credible, believable, they understand the gospel, and they must be immersed in order to join the church. Now, people can come and attend prior to that, but if they're going to be part of the church membership, then they follow what the early church did, which was salvation and then baptism. The second T is two church offices, pastor and deacons, or pastors and deacons. And then lastly, the S is a separated people. Separated from the state, so we talk about the difference between church and state, but then also separations from sin. Now remember, this is a collection of Bible doctrines or teachings that taken together defined the first Baptist churches. And I would say true Baptist churches over the last four centuries. These are the basics of what it meant to be a Baptist. Not everything that Baptists hold to or believe about God, life, and worship. And if you notice, my church's doctrinal statement, this church's doctrinal statement, probably Brother Noel's doctrinal statement that he's going to defend next week, it's bigger than just the word Baptist or the, is it acrostic? I still forget, acrostic. I don't know why I can't remember that. The doctrinal statement that we have as a church is bigger than just this. Okay, but this is a basic to help define who we are. These are distinctives taken together that set Baptist apart from others. Now, why is it important to maintain these distinctions? Well, there are two important reasons, and I hope you see these, and I put them in your notes. There are two important reasons other than remaining true to the name Baptist or the legacy of Baptist. Here are the two reasons. Number one, to those outside of the church. Okay? These distinctives explain, defend, and clarify the Baptist faith. At least they ought to. Okay? So to those outside of the church, people that are either non-Baptist or non-Christians, should be able to do some research. They should be able to study historic Baptist teachings and then show up here and understand that we believe these things because we have the name Baptist on our church sign or on the church website or on the church letterhead. To those outside of the church, it should define who we are. But it also serves the purpose for people inside the church, like you and me. These distinctives educate, unify, hopefully, and confirm the faithful. They provide for us in a succinct manner who we are, what we teach, and what we believe. They serve for us in a way as kind of rally points or rallying points, something that we can focus on. In the Army, we have something that I don't know when it was developed, but it's been around for a little while, but it's something that we call the Army Values. Okay? And it's another one of those acrostics that they use, leadership. And it just reminds every soldier that he is to value or she is to value and practice certain things. You say, what are they? They're loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. These provide for soldiers and units a rally point, a point to focus attention and to remind soldiers who we are and what we're to be about. I don't know, does the Navy have something that's clever like that too? Okay, what is it, Cliff? I'll put you on the spot. Oh, it's just, yours is shorter. Is there a reason why? Oh, you get it quicker, you're faster. We're slower, okay. Folks, can I say this? The Baptist distinctives, they provide the same guidance. They give us a focus or a rally point. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is why we do things. And it's based not just on what we think, but it's based on Scripture. Remember, the Bible is the only rule for faith and practice. For sake of time, I want to skip to number 3. Why are we Baptist? We're Baptist because of a connection to the past. We're Baptist because of a collection of ideas, teachings from Scripture. Number 3, we're Baptist because of a commitment to conservatism. A commitment to conservatism or conservation, however you want to say it. What do I mean by conservatism or conservation? No, we're not talking about politics tonight. You say, why? Well, because there is no such thing as conservative politicians right now. That's a myth. Rightly understood, though, what is conservatism or what is conservation? It's maintaining something from the past. Okay? Or if you think of it this way, it's passing on something that's worth preserving. Passing on something that is saved or conserved from one time or one place to another. You say, what does that involve? What does that look like? Have you heard this verse before? 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Christianity has always been about conservatism, passing on to others what we have received from the Word of God. Paul provides this chain or this link, this understanding of what conservatism in Christianity is to look like. And I know you've received teaching on this before. But in your notes, I put down there, Paul, who received his teachings from the Lord, passed these things to Timothy. Timothy was to pass them on to faithful men, to believers is the idea, who were able to pass them on to others also. And that is what, by the way, this is the assumption of what the church will do and will continue doing until the Lord will return for his own. Can I say this? This is what Baptists historically have sought to do. What is there to pass on from the Lord and his apostles? the teachings of Scripture. Okay? The concept is this. The early Baptist church, the denomination, as they gathered together in the 1600s, influenced by the different things that were there, they came and they said, let's return to the Scriptures. How do we organize ourselves? The Scriptures tell us. And then from that, they produced writings. Why? So that people would know who they were and what they were about. And then that generation of Baptist churches sent out missionaries to plant other churches. Okay? And then those churches went back to the Scriptures, the Baptist teachings. Why? Because they knew there was something there to pass on. It wasn't just the Baptist banner. Okay? It was the Christian banner. They knew they had things to pass on. They had a responsibility that was from the Lord. They did this through the teachings and preachings of Baptist pastors. They accomplished this through the writing and publishing of Baptist confessions, which were just collections of biblical teachings. We have a responsibility to do the same. We can and should have a place in that. What Paul started to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, to those others, we step in line and we receive the baton. We take what is worth conserving, the gospel, but also the other teachings of Christian worship, Christian polity, church polity, how we organize things. We take them, we understand them, we learn them, we pass them on. We should be receiving and passing these things along. This church was established as something good. We understand and embrace that. We pass it along to the next generation. We're committed to conserving both our distinctiveness and our legacy until Jesus comes. What's in a name? We're named Baptist. Not by accident, but by careful planning. And by the way, not apologetically. We should be unapologetic about who we are. We're not just a community organization. We're not just a faith-based group that likes to come together and feel good about who we are. We're a Baptist church, and we should stay that way. We are named Baptist. We are currently Baptist, not for convenience, but by conviction. We will remain Baptist for the reasons presented tonight. At least I'm assuming that this church will stay Baptist for those reasons presented. A connection to the rich legacy, a collection of biblical teachings, and a commitment to conserving what we've been entrusted with until Jesus returns. Christian, I hope you've been encouraged and inspired this evening. This church has been in place for more than 40 years now, dedicated to the careful preaching and teaching and obeying of the Scriptures. Thank God for that tonight. Let's get our message out to the community. Let's bring people in to hear the Bible and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your good.